Minute. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor. A Go Loud original podcast.
Welcome to episode 18 of Unscripted. I hope everybody had an amazing new year. And I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have listened to one episode, five episodes, or every single episode. I appreciate you so much. For anyone who may have never listened in before or missed some episodes, this is going to be a really good episode to listen to me, as it's the best bits of Unscripted in 2024. Another shorter episode, but back to business as usual next week. I hope you enjoy, guys. Hello, guys, and welcome to Unscripted. I am so nervous and I'm so excited. I think one of the most asked questions on all of my social medias is, when are you going to start a podcast? Now, I don't know why you just want to sit and listen to me talk, but apparently you do. So I'm so excited. I feel like it's going to be such a good way to connect with you guys and just kind of build like a really personal relationship. I feel like this has been like 2024 has been the year of like new beginnings, fresh start. And speaking of new beginnings, if any of you guys follow me on social media, you'll know that me and Alex have just moved into our literal dream home. So the topic of today's podcast is going to be moving in with your partner. I know I did live with Alex before, but I feel like it's different when it's like, okay, like you're buying a house, like you're moving into a house together. It's so much more permanent. I don't even think we like ever like properly had the conversation. Like, it's the same thing as when we actually moved in like to the apartment together. Like, it was never like a proper conversation like of, oh, like, will we move in together? It kind of just happened. Like, I don't want to get cringy on my first episode, but like, we have such a great relationship and we just get each other. And I feel like I genuinely would never find that in anybody else. Like, I feel like I'd always be like comparing anybody else to my relationship I have with him. Like, we're both weirdos. And that's the thing. I feel like I'm going to ruin Alex's reputation on this podcast as well. He's going to be listening like, Niamh, I'm a rapper. I'm meant to be cool. I don't think we thought that we'd find our dream house like within the budget that we had. I think we thought that that would be like completely impossible. So we were going to these viewings and we were kind of like feeling a bit, I don't know, like beaten up afterwards. We were like, we're never going to find what we want, kind of thing. Anyway, eventually we came across the house. The day that I put up that like we got the house, yeah. The biggest question, okay, that I've gotten on all of my social medias is, who bought the house? And I feel like, I don't know, should I tell you? Should I say it? Actually, I have to tell you this story. Like, I have to. So last night, right? So we have like an island in our kitchen and our dishwasher, for some reason, the old owners plugged it out. I don't know if they have to do that or whatever, but they plugged it out anyway. So once we plugged it back in, every time we went to use it, it was beeping, right? So last night, Alex is like messing around with the dishwasher, like trying to get it working. And I come downstairs, he's in the kitchen with his friend. And he's like, babe, I think I got this working, like it hasn't beeped. And I'm like, oh my God, deadly. And his friend's like, check it, open it up, like see if there's water coming out of it. And he goes to open it up. The door wasn't closed. Like, he didn't close the dishwasher door. So this is what I mean when I say that we could not have a fixer-upper. Like, this man didn't close the dishwasher door and was convinced he had fixed the dishwasher. The dishwasher was fully still open. So when I say we couldn't have got a fixer-upper and that my boyfriend needs a DIY course ASAP, that is what I mean. Now, enough about me and enough about Alex. I feel like all I ever talk... Is that a sign that you're like really deeply in love? Because I just love talking about my boyfriend. So, but enough about us. We're going to move on to some of your dilemmas that you've sent in about living with your partners.
Niamh, can I just say, like, if your biggest problem is that Alex is too organized, you have a saint on your hands.
I know.
Like, I know in my house, the biggest problem is that the toilet seat never gets left down. And from someone that lived with all girls, I don't think it's too much to ask to not have to touch a pissy toilet seat.
No, it's definitely not. That's definitely. And no, oh my God, I forgot one. I forgot one. Right. No, forget the other one. Scrap that. Right. This is the worst thing. Lauren, you're a lifesaver. You've just reminded me. This is the worst thing this man does, okay? And I'm saying this with chest on this podcast, okay? He gets up in the middle of the night and he goes to the toilet, okay? Now, he leaves the seat down. So, Lauren, it's not the same as your problem, but it's still, you know, He leaves the seat down. He doesn't turn the light on. So he pees all over the toilet seat. Okay, then think about it, girls. I get up in the middle of the night. I go to the toilet and I sit in a puddle of my boyfriend's urine. And on top of that, I have eczema. Okay, I have eczema on my butt cheeks. Okay, so can you imagine how much that stings me? And Alex, if you're listening to this, if you do this one more time, I swear we're going to have problems. But this is a regular occurrence. Like, I'm talking probably once every 2 days. I go to the toilet and I'm greeted by sitting on a puddle of my boyfriend's urine. Now, why I don't learn to check the seat before is another question. But why are men like this? Like, why are men like this? Why are you peeing on the toilet seat? It gives me so much anger.
Oh, to be fair, that's much worse than my problem. At least I only have it on my hand. You have it all over your eyes. So shall we hear from some of our listeners' dilemmas?
Yes.
Hey, Niamh, in need of some serious advice here. I have a boyfriend who comes to visit from Wexford every odd weekend and stays with me. But the issue is he has some really bad habits and is so messy. And so was in capitals. So she means it. When he uses the shower, he constantly leaves hair behind in the bath, and God knows if it's beard hair or from elsewhere. When he brushes his teeth, he leaves his spit all over the sink and doesn't rinse it away. And the worst of the worst habit, I came home from college one day to find him sitting in my bed, clipping his toenails. He has started suggesting that we rent together next year, and I really don't know if I'm prepared to deal with him and his habits full time. The ick is real, and I often wonder if we would even last if we did move in together. Any advice on how to deal with this?
Right, okay. First off, your boyfriend is me. I'm just going to put that out there. Your boyfriend is me, okay? So... I feel like I've been too nice throughout this whole situation. Now that I've actually sat and deeped that, like, you had to watch a man sit in your bed and clip his toenails into your bed. Like, number one, how are you going to find all the toenails? Right. I don't even want to think about it. Seriously, I think you need to reevaluate whether this relationship is for you. Because not just that, even the way you're talking about him being like, oh, I don't know. Like, would we last if we moved in together? I feel like that's your gut. That is your gut. You need to listen to your gut. Like, women's instincts are always spot on, and your gut is telling you to run. So maybe you need to take the advice and just pack the bags and run. Just go. If you don't see yourself lasting long term now with this man, like, you don't even live together. You know what I mean? You're not living together. I know he's like over occasionally. Yeah, but you don't live together and you're already having these feelings and you're already having these issues. And I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's very inconsiderate of him to sit and clip his toenails. That's the one I'm stuck on, right? Because the spit thing, like, I do that sometimes, to be honest. Like, I don't always clean my toothpaste off the sink. I probably should. But that one, I just can't seem to get past. And I feel like that's so inconsiderate. And that's a man child. Like, this is a man child that you are going to have to sit and look after and mommy forever for the rest of your life. And that's not what you want. You don't want a man child. You want a man, not a man child. So I think pack your bags. No, you don't need to pack your bags. Pack his bags. Pack his bags so he can't come near you every other weekend and say bye bye, boy. Boy, bye. Girls, I can't catch a break. It's quite obvious I can't catch a break. And I have another little funny story of the past week for you, right? So wait till you hear this one. Alex's brother and Alex's brother's girlfriend were over for dinner this week. Okay, now they have a dog. The dog's name is Prince. I love Prince very much. He's my nephew. But Alex's brother's girlfriend is a vegetarian. Okay, so I'm cooking away for about 2 hours, cooking the corn mince, right? I'm not a great cook, girls. Like, if I cook, it's in the air fryer or the slow cooker. Like, I am not doing this whole frying pan, like, oven. Like, nah, that's not for me. I have many talents in life. Cooking is not one of them. So I'm over the frying pan. I'm doing my little corn, like, mince, rice, you know, frying it all up, okay? It takes me about 2 hours. Now, when you look this meal up online, it says half an hour. So, corn, I have an issue with that. What's going on? Because it took me about 2 hours, right? It takes me about 2 hours. I set the table. I serve dinner to everybody, okay? I get up from the table for 0.5 seconds. When I tell you 0.5 seconds, I am not joking. I was just up from the table. But Alex's brother and Alex's brother's girlfriend weren't at the table at this time. They had also got up from the table for whatever reason. I think they were helping me. Alex is sitting at the table and he's on his phone. Bearing in mind, I've just spent 2 hours cooking this dinner for everybody, okay? I get up, I turn around. The dog is jumped up on the table, eating my dinner, okay? So as you can imagine, that wasn't ideal. Then Alex's mom got a dog who we love. The dog's name is Jamie. Cute, cute, cute. It's so tiny. It's like literally fits in the palm of my hand. I go over, we're going over to see the dog. The dog spends the whole time humping my leg. I mean the entire time. And then once it's done humping my leg, it crawls up onto my chest and falls asleep. So once the dog got its leg over, it said, you know what? I'm tired now. I'm going to go sleep on you. I've always been a bit weird. Like in school, I was kind of a lone bird. I had friends and I had groups of friends and I was kind of like part of friend groups, but I always preferred my own company. And I was just always that way. Like school lunches, if I could have spent them on my own, I would have. Now, I don't want it to seem like I literally sat in the bathroom by myself and everyone to feel sorry for me, because it wasn't that way. Like I had friend groups. But I was just an odd one. I was really odd. Like I really didn't care if I had friends or I didn't have friends. And I didn't care if people fell out with me or anything else. I was just, I don't know, I suppose a little bit odd in school. But I found school friendships to be some of the hardest friendships that I've ever had and some of the most traumatizing. Like I remember me, oh my God, girls, here's a story for you. I remember I was best friends with this girl. She's such a lovely girl now, right? And she was back then as well, right? She's always been lovely. But I was best friends with this girl and we fell out, right? And I used to get bullied quite badly in school about my teeth. And we had a falling out over something. I don't know what it was over. It actually could have been over a boy. I think I was like dating this boy in school and then she got with this boy. But like whatever, like who cares? You know what I mean? But I obviously did care, you know, and I fell out with her. And then I think she called me a rabbit or something one day in school. Like, because that was my touchy subject. Like Bugs Bunny, rabbit, anything like that was my touchy subject in school. And she called me that one day on the corridor. The two of us start battering the heads off each other in the middle of the corridor in school. Like we weren't even allowed to go to Maynooth open day for college because we were banned, because we battered the heads off each other in the school corridor. So school friendships are a whole other league, aren't they? Like imagine now, I'm 27 now and I can never imagine in my life ever battering anybody. You know what I mean? I don't know what the hell went on in school. I think it was all the hormones. I genuinely do. And to be honest, I think I lost that fight, and rightly so. This girl is like a foot taller than me. Like, who did I think I was? You know the way I was saying that my dad is basically like my mum, right? And I'm super close to my dad. My dad is also, I think a lot of people didn't understand when I started OnlyFans, like, how could you do that? Like, my dad is so young. Like, my dad is really young. My dad's turning 50 this year. He's actually turning 50 in November. So he's young, like he's hip, he's cool. He's not, he's a dad, but you know, he's not old thinking or anything, you know? But anyways, when I was going to get my first BBL, right, I had just started OnlyFans. I had the money on my OnlyFans, but you couldn't withdraw the money. You had to wait like 30 days. And obviously we all know that I rushed into having surgery done, like literally booked it within the first 2 days of me doing OnlyFans. My dad actually lent me the money for my first BBL. He literally paid for my first BBL. Thank you, Dad. Now, obviously, I gave it back to him. So, like, you know, that's what I mean. Like, see things like that. A lot of the time, girls would be terrified to go and be like, hey, Dad, like, I'm actually getting implants put in my ass, you know? Whereas I was like, hey, Dad, I'm getting implants put in my ass and I can't withdraw my money. Can you give me the money for it? Girls, my first kiss story is so friggin' bad. So bad. This is probably one of the most embarrassing stories that's ever happened to me. So, my best friend in secondary school at the time, she was going out with this boy. And this boy had a friend. And we're going to call this friend Peter, okay? So this boy had a friend, Peter. And my best friend was like, right, Niamh, I think I was like going 14 at this stage. So she was like, right, Niamh, you're going 14. Like, you need to kiss a boy. Like, you're still a frigid. You need to kiss a boy. Like, this is not okay. And I was like, okay, like, fine, like, whatever. I was shit in my pants, like, to kiss a boy. And she was like, okay, well, my boyfriend's friend, Peter, fancies you. So why don't we all go to the cinema together? Okay. And I'm like, okay. Now, but leading up to this, I didn't want to kiss this boy. I just want to put that out there here and now. I just wanted to not be a frigid anymore. I kept like getting slagged for being a frigid and I didn't want to be a frigid anymore. That was so, remember back then being a frigid was like embarrassing, like embarrassing. You used to make up that like you had kisses you didn't have just because people call you a frigid. So we go to the cinema. I get popcorn and a Coke. Like, why am you, Niamh, you're getting your first kiss here and you're munching down on popcorn. So I think that says everything that needs to be said about my want to kiss this boy. We sit down. We're going, I'll never forget it, girls. As long as I live, I will never forget it. It's Alvin and the Chipmunks, okay? I'm traumatized. I've never watched Alvin and the Chipmunks since. I had rabbit teeth, like my teeth stuck out of my mouth. Like, I mean, like straight out of my mouth. Okay. I know I have an overbite now, but my teeth were like really like rabbity. Like they were, what is it called? Like prominent. They stuck out at an angle. It's like three quarters of the way through this film. Okay. And this boy turns around and goes, well, should we kiss now? And I'm like, I go, yeah, okay. And he leans in to kiss me. It's dark. The cinema's dark. You can't see anything. And he fucking bangs off my teeth, girls. He bangs off my teeth and bounces back. Like, I mean, bounces back. And I'm like, oh my God, this could not be any worse. And then I think he went in again and it was traumatizing. By this stage, I was like, get me out of this cinema. Like, I can't believe this just happened to me, especially because I was so self-conscious of my teeth at the time. And now the first boy who tried to kiss me banged their teeth off my teeth. So can you imagine how that made me feel? Little 13-year-old me. Then we left the cinema and it's safe to say that I never spoke to this boy again, ever, as long as I live. I actually don't think I ever had a single other conversation with him. I was so embarrassed. And he went around and told everybody as well that he banged his teeth off my teeth. So thanks a lot for that, Peter. Do you know what, girls? There was one video, I'll tell you this on the pod. There was one video that he got and it was so funny and I'm fuming because I made him delete it, right? We were outside of his mom's house, right? And we go to his mom's house all the time for dinner. And his mom's a pescatarian. So we're outside of his mom's house and we were going in for dinner and I was like, what are we having for dinner? And he was like, oh, we're having tuna pasta. And girls, I have this like fear of tuna. Like, I mean, I am deathly afraid of tuna. I can't be around it. I can't be near it. I can't smell it, like nothing. So I start having like, it's one thing about me, again, definitely comes back to neurodivergency. I am very particular about food. Like, food is like a major trigger point for me. So I start going absolutely mad. I'm like, I'm not going in. I'm not going in. I'm not going into your mom's. I don't want tuna pasta. And he was like, Niamh, why? But then once I figured out that he was like pranking me, I like elbowed him. And then I deleted the whole video off his phone. Then, honestly, if there's any tuna lovers listening to this, can you please write in and tell us how the fuck you even started liking tuna? Like, what made you look at tuna and smell it? Like, do you know what I just can't get past? How could you look at tuna and smell tuna and then decide you're going to put it in your mouth? I honestly do not get it. It's the most vile thing I have ever, like, I get angry. I'm getting like visibly angry over this tuna. It just stinks. It smells so bad. It looks like mush. Like, it looks like it's already been digested. It's absolutely disgusting. Like, it looks like it came out someone's rear end. I don't know how anybody eats it. So yeah, if you eat tuna, please, because I'll actually read it out next week. What made you look at tuna and decide that's something like that you appetizing, that you want to put into your mouth? I just can't understand it. I was speaking to someone the other day. I can't even remember who it was, but we were talking about how in different countries they eat different things. Like, in some countries they eat dogs, and in some countries
they eat like horse and it's all normal, okay? And like, you know the way, like, don't get me wrong, I would never eat a dog. Like, oh my God, no, 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 no. But then when you actually think about the logic of that, yeah, we eat cow, we eat sheep, we eat like all of these other animals, but we draw the line at dog. Like, all of a sudden when you say dog, we're like, oh my God, no. But it's because we think of them as pets. But what if like we started treating cows as pets? Then we wouldn't want to eat the cows. Do you get me? That's such a tangent. That has nothing to do with fears. But just an interesting cause. We were kind of talking about it and we were saying, it's weird how like humans, like, why do we feel so differently about cows than we do about dogs? You know, like if you say you're eating a cow, nobody bats an eyelid. But if I told you I'm going to eat dog for dinner, I'd be cancelled. You know, I'd never eat dog for dinner, just to say. But do you get what I'm saying? I don't even know if it's legal to eat dog. Is it legal to eat dog in Ireland?
I can find out.
Yeah, find out. I'm interested to know, like, is that legal? Can you eat dog? Not that anyone would want to, because please don't be getting ideas about eating dogs, please.
Jesus, no. Like when you Google it, the first thing that comes up is, since when is it illegal to eat dogs?
No way.
Now, I don't know what country that is in, but let's see. So now it's Wikipedia, so God knows how legit this is, but it seems the only source I can find. In the 21st century, dog meat is consumed to a limited extent in China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Indonesia, North Korea, Nigeria, Ghana, Switzerland and India. Switzerland!
Switzerland!
Yeah.
No way. I knew the other countries.
Yeah, me too.
But I didn't know Switzerland. That's mad. So is it legal in Ireland though?
It doesn't say.
So it mustn't be illegal.
Here we go. The slaughter or consumption of dog meat is banned in some countries.
But see, this is my, like, this is where, like, don't, guys, people are going to think I'm a fucking psychopath. I don't want to eat dogs, okay? Just want to make that clear. But I find it interesting how humans work that, like, okay, like, you can ban eating dogs, but like we can kill pigs, cows, sheep, and fucking deer. You know what I mean? Do you get me? Obviously, it's because we view dogs as maybe closer equals to us than we do cows and sheep. But that's kind of sad, I think. No, no, no. Here's a good one. I have a really good one. So Amy said, when they lower themselves into a bath and the willy just be floating, like, oh, please no. No. No, the mental image of the... No, I'm actually not okay.
I think Neve has the mental image of that, like, embedded in her.
No, I'm just imagining the willy floating in the water. Oh, my stomach hurts. That is the best one, hands down. No, no. Imagine. All I'm picturing is the little todger floating in the water. Oh, my God. That is so funny. When I tell you, if I had a euro for the amount of people that wrote to me and online and said, you're an attention seeker, you're not autistic, I would be a millionaire. I shit you not, I would be a millionaire. And none of these people have qualifications. None of these people have any right to be telling you what you are or what you aren't. Especially when you're an adult that's gone undiagnosed your whole life. It is nearly impossible to spot in a female that's gone undiagnosed her whole life. Females are so good at masking, super high masking. And that's, sorry, I'm rambling now. I'm off on a tangent, but that's another reason why I love social media. I feel like we are seeing a lot more girls that look completely neurotypical. You would never, ever, ever think that they're struggling with anything. And they're coming out and saying, I'm autistic. And I feel like that's amazing. We're getting such a better understanding of, you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to be perceived in a certain way to be autistic. Because realistically, the number one thing of autism is masking. That's what does my head in. Like when people say to me, oh, well, you seem so outgoing. Thanks. You're just telling me I'm great at masking. You know what I mean?
If
if you are subscribed to somebody and they're constantly active, like if they're online all the time, 24/7, that is how you know that is not them.
It's an assistant.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Yeah, because mine...
That's impossible, like.
I felt like...
You used to be live when she was sexting,
yeah,
I remember.
Oh my God, I got myself caught out so many times, right? So my assistant would be on my page, like sexting, getting money, doing whatever. I'm sitting on live like, hi guys.
Cooking a curry or
something. Cooking my curry. And like, oh, they're writing on to my OnlyFans being like.
And she'd be like, oh my God, I keep going live, guys. Sexting into the group chat. Oh yeah. My God.
Well, I feel like that's when. So I made huge money, like. Even when I was in Turkey, there was a month where I made like 100 grand.
Mm-hmm.
But then my money kind of went down because, not because I got an assistant, but because I stopped liking doing OnlyFans. And I feel like it's something that you really need to enjoy doing so that you can make the most money. With me, I stopped wanting to film content. I stopped filming content and I just set resent.
Yeah, I remember all that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember you used to have so many tricks.
Yeah. I would just resend. Like, I would film one video and that video would be sent like 100 times.
Like, yeah, or chopped and like re-edited in different ways.
Different video. Not me scamming everyone.
A few years ago, Niamh was not so cooking savvy, right? So I was on FaceTime, and again, this is when you were living abroad, and she tried to put some chips in the oven. And she was on FaceTime to me and Dylan at the time. And she was like, do I leave the oven door open when I leave the chips in? She didn't realise you had to close the oven door in order to cook oven chips. She thought you had to leave the door of the oven open. And me and Dylan were just like, is she for real? She's having this on. She's messing.
I've done that multiple times.
She is a weapon. Are you for real?
I've done that multiple times. I put up my Instagram story once asking and people were all like, are you fucking all right?
Lauren, have you ever done that?
No, and I am the worst cook in the world.
Exactly.
Well, you can't be worse than me.
The worst cook in the world, and she knows that you have to close the oven door when you're cooking something in the oven.
I didn't know, though, you couldn't put metal in the microwave, so...
Oh.
Lauren, now, even I know that, and I'm a tick. You know what I mean? Like, that's saying... You're slagging me about the oven door, but you put metal in the microwave, love.
I was making roast dinners by 14.
Yo, Brandon was making roast dinners by 14.
I love a roast dinner. Oh, that's my death row meal. I love roast dinners.
Yeah. And Brandon makes a sick carvery. Like, his carvery is so good.
I did. We lived abroad last year and Niamh and Alex actually used to live right up the road. We can say that now because we don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
And we invited them over for dinner one day because I love hosting. That's one thing I realised. I love hosting. I'm the hostess with the mostest. That's me. Oh, right. And I was cooking. I was like fucking Gordon Ramsay in that gaff. I loved it. And we invited Niamh and Alex over one day for a roast dinner, and I'll never forget it. It felt great. And then everybody's reaction when people were eating, I was like, I cooked that.
See, it's because he's an egomaniac, lads, so he needed the ego boost for his roast dinner. No, I'm joking.
One of the listeners came back and said, my boyfriend touches his wiener when there's no wood available around.
Oh my God. Your boyfriend touches his wiener like what, masturbates? Is that what she's saying?
No, I think she just means as in like it's a euphemism for wood, isn't it? Like,
oh my God, I am so stupid. I am actually so I thought that she meant her boyfriend like pulls himself off when no one's in the room. Oh, you said no woods around, not no one's around.
Oh, no, sorry.
I am stupid. I am fucking stupid. Okay, that just gave me a mental image that I really didn't want. But anyways, birds are the only living relatives of dinosaurs. Did you not know that?
No.
Oh my God.
I had no idea. I'd heard that dinosaurs once had feathers, though. I had heard that fact before.
Maybe, let me fact check this, okay? Because maybe I'm just bullshitting. Like, I have a very vast imagination.
I would not be surprised if a seagull was a direct relative of a dinosaur.
Yeah, see,
they are horrible.
They look like them and they're fucking, like, they come over and steal your fucking food. Are birds the relatives of dinosaurs? Let me see. Birds evolved from the group of meat-eating dinosaurs called theropods.
That's mad.
So not only were they fucking dinosaurs, they were fucking meat-eating dinosaurs. So we're dead. If these birds ever re-evolve, lads, yeah, and get bigger again, we are fucked. We are fucked. So maybe we should all start being nicer to birds. But one day I posted on my story, there was two birds in front of me and they were nice, friendly birds. And I was like, oh my God, look, two magpies, like one for sorrow, two for joy. What do you think all the responses were? They were like, Niamh, they're fucking pigeons. They were pigeons. I was so embarrassed, so embarrassed. Actually, speaking of pigeons, do you ever hear the stories of pigeons?
No.
Oh my God, it's so sad, right? So pigeons were like wild animals, right? And then humans completely domesticated them. Like, I mean, fully domesticated them. So they were used like back in the day before they had like phones and stuff.
Oh yeah, carrier pigeons.
Yeah, carrier pigeons to bring stuff. So they're actually like highly intelligent. Like, I think pigeons are like really, really, really smart animals. But what we did was we domesticated them. And then when we didn't have any use for them anymore, we just fucked them out and said, fuck you, goodbye. And obviously, because we had domesticated them, they had lost all of their like natural instincts from the wild. Have you ever seen a pigeon's nest, Lauren?
No.
Oh my God. Guys, anyone that is listening to this right now, I need you to Google pigeon's nest immediately. It is so sad.
I'll put a picture up on the Instagram when the episode comes out.
Look.
Oh no.
They can't build their nests. They just put a load of sticks. It's so sad.
Like, so where do they live?
That's what they live in.
They literally live in that? In a tree?
Yeah. That's on like wherever they're building it. But their nests, like, look at this.
Ah, no.
Like, they've lost the instinct.
Okay, I'm going to share this on the Instagram page when the episode comes out.
Yeah, that is sad, isn't it? They've lost the instinct to actually build nests because of humans. Like, humans, I'm sorry to say it, lads, but humans are actually the worst thing that has ever happened to the world, honestly, because we've taken animals, used them for our own pleasure, and then fucked them back out into the wild to the point that they have lost all of their natural instincts. Like, pigeons are easy prey now as well because they've lost their instinct for like fight, so they're prey for so many animals, like even cats. Pigeons are prey for fucking cats. But yeah, the guys, how many fucking, I need to stop saying the word tangent as well. That's like my favorite fucking word every episode. But yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
That's
like,
very sad.
It's so sad. We need to discuss this. Fuck you, Deputy Stag is back in the doll. Fuck you, Deputy Stag is back in the doll. In my, what's it called again?
Constituency.
Constituency. Fuck you, Deputy Stag is in my constituency. I bet yous are all jealous about that. No, he is probably one of the most iconic people ever to have stepped foot in the doll. He really is. And do you know what it is? It's just the bravery of him. He actually pardoned himself before he said it. He said, I'm about to use very unparliamentary language. Fuck you, Deputy Stag. Fuck you. And he said it twice. Like, he committed to the cause. And then the Cian Corla. Then the Cian Corla goes. Oh, that is very unparliamentary language. Oh, it's one of, no, my other favourite one. Did you say, Lauren? Did I speak about this last week? It's like one of my favourite moments ever. Michael Healy-Ray and Micheál Martin having the biggest argument and he's like, cop yourself on there a fair bit now, Taoiseach. Oh my God, no. We need to talk about this moment, right? Danny Healy-Ray, which is Michael Healy-Ray's brother, okay? He asked in the doll for a drink driving license, a permit to drink drive. I'm not even joking.
Have you ever heard something more Irish?
No, isn't it? He's like, for rural roads so that people can go and have pints in the pub and drive home. Like, when I imagine someone in another country, like watching our doll talk about someone in our doll talk about making a drink driving license. Like, you know, we're in all these crises, but the really hard hitting fucking issues is a drink driving license. Where I'm from, literally like 2 meters up the road from the pub, there's a huge big sign that says accident black spot. And it like says all the people that have died on the road in that spot. So I feel like we just know better than that now. So when I seen like a TD asking for a drink driver's license, and do you know what else he said? He goes, sure, it's no different. He has a Kerry accent, so I'm about to do a really bad Kerry accent. He goes, sure, it's no different.
Go on, Niamh.
Sure, it's no different than having a big dinner and driving home.
You sounded Jamaican. Oh, my God.
Cork. Oh, my God. Fun fact. Do you know that the Cork, that the Jamaican accent comes from Cork?
No.
Because Irish, I don't know if they were slaves, whatever they were, okay? Irish, whatever, taught Jamaican people how to speak English. Did you never hear Cillian Murphy when he was younger speaking? He sounds Jamaican.
No.
He sounds Jamaican. That's where the accent comes from. That's why there's so many similarities between a Cork accent and a Jamaican accent.
Do I need to fact check this?
I swear. Go look it up.
Do you know what's funny, guys? Last week's episode, we fact checked every second thing we said on the episode. And the one thing we didn't, which was the bit about the pigeons, is apparently completely false.
I don't believe that. My friends were slagging me today because one of her, someone she knows, like breeds pigeons or something, or rares pigeons, not breeds them. Sindal, if you're listening, if I'm getting it wrong, I'm sorry. But she was like, Niamh, I'm telling you, they build nests. I can show you. And I was like, no, Google pigeon nest. It's just sticks. And then Bia, you know, Bia that was on the podcast, she was like, Niamh, you thought a pigeon was a magpie a few weeks ago. And now you know all about their nests. What research were you doing? Clearly not the correct one. My guilty pleasure used to be, there's a clip of this, so I'm going to send it to Lauren. But I went on a podcast a few years ago before I got with Alex, right? I've told you all about how like Alex was my like crush and whatever. But I went on a podcast a few years ago before I got with Alex and basically said that Versatile were my guilty pleasure. Don't ask me why. Like, why was I embarrassed to like Versatile? That ain't good. But I don't think I properly understood the meaning. But yeah, I said Versatile were my guilty pleasure a few years ago. Now, obviously, the pleasure is not very guilty. Okay, I'm proud of the pleasure. It's so weird listening back and seeing how far we've come, and hopefully this year will be bigger and better. I really, really hope so, guys. Thanks again for listening in. And as per usual, you can follow us on Instagram at unscriptedgoloud or email us on unscripted@goloudnow.com. I'll see you next week for our usual episodes with our dilemmas. I love yous. Mwah.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.